Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Now, this is the ninth within a series that when we started the Alpha and the Omega, where Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, where he begins our salvation, and he did three things. He died on the cross, so his death saved us. We are now being saved by his blood, and we will be saved by the resurrection. And that's exactly, if you go back to Romans 5, you will find those tenses or the time of that wording, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were without strength, you see, were is in the past tense or past time. So Jesus died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. Much more now, the blood of Jesus saves us, and it's the blood that makes atonement for the soul in Deuteronomy. Also, we will be saved by his life, is what it says. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. It's one and the same thing. Well, then God did something, and he is the author, but he expects us to do something. And what does he tell us to do? Repent, change your mind. And then we went over where God gives us faith. We did that, I believe, the last time. And this time we're going to take a little bit of a off course, yet it's still in. I haven't kept in the order that I normally teach this, but I felt like this subject is very, very important. It is important in the Old Testament as well as in the New. In the Old Testament, a man was circumcised in the flesh, but even it foretold about the circumcision of the heart when it looked ahead to the New Testament. The New Testament is the circumcision of the heart. In the Old Testament, men performed the operation. In the New Testament, God does. Oh, there's a scripture that shows that. Now, I was doing my data reading, which I've told you about. We happen to be in Exodus, and today, and I'm reading in Ezekiel, and it's a subject about the netherworld or the pit where people go when they die. And we talked about that in the Revelation teaching. And I noticed you could also call, in the Old Testament, it was called the Sheol, the grave. It's called the nether world, the lowest world. It's also called the pit, and it's where the uncircumcised are. And in this context, in Ezekiel 32, starting in 17 and going to the end of the chapter, the uncircumcised who are down there are found nine times. In the 12th year, I'm reading in Ezekiel 32:17. In the 12th year of the 15th of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, wail for the hordes of Egypt, and bring it down, her and the daughters of the powerful nations, to the nether world with those who go down to the pit. There was an author that wrote about the pit, and I think he had some spiritual problems. I remember reading it and being scared when I was in grammar school and so on. I remember reading some of those things. It wasn't something you read at night. Whom do you surpass in beauty? Go down and make your bed with the uncircumcised. And the uncircumcised is disobedience, unbelief in God. Abraham believed God, and God gave him the covenant of circumcision, you see. And if Abraham is to be your father, you need to be circumcised, and circumcised of heart, not of flesh. and specifically not a flesh in the New Testament. It doesn't mean you're wrong if you know you were a baby, that you were circumcised, which they do in the United States, but don't be circumcised for God because it doesn't work. Circumcise your heart. It actually says, they shall fall in the midst of those who are slain by the sword. She is given over to the sword. They have drawn her and all her hordes away. The strong among the mighty ones shall speak of him and his helpers from the midst of Sheol. All those terms are there. Sheol, the grave, the pit, and the lowest world, the nether world. They have gone down. They lie still. The uncircumcised slain by the sword. Actually, it's 10. I just found one I didn't underline in yellow. Assyria is there and all her company. Her graves are around about her. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword. It talks about being slain, the graves, the uncircumcised, Sheol, the netherworld, the pit, all those terms. The remotest parts of the pit. Well, there's even the remotest part of the pit. Wah! And her company is round about her grave. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword, who spread terror in the land of the living. So here's other words, slain and fallen. Elam is there, and all her hordes are round about her grave. All of them slain, fallen by the sword, who went down uncircumcised to the lowest parts of the earth, who instilled their terror in the land of the living and bore their disgrace. That's another word that's there, disgrace, fallen. Graves, pit, netherworld, with those who go down to the pit. They have made a bed from her among the slain with all her hordes. Her graves are all around it. They are all uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Although their terror was instilled in the land of the living, they bore their disgrace with those who went down to the pit. They were put in the midst of the slain. It was an instance with Korah. When he rebelled against Israel and rebelled against God's authority and so on, the earth just opened its mouth. It did an unusual thing that had not been done before and swallowed them alive with their families right down into this place. There was huge disgrace. They were put in the midst of the slain. Meshach, Tubal, and all their hordes are there. Their graves surround them. All of them were slain by the sword, uncircumcised, though they instilled their terror in the land of the living. Nor do they lie beside the fallen heroes of the uncircumcised who went down to Sheol, the grave, Sheol, with their weapons of war and whose swords were laid under their heads. But the punishment, there's another word, punishment, for their iniquity rested on their bones, though the terror of the hordes was once in the land of the living. There's another term, broken and shame, and so on. And now I have to change it from 9 to 10. I just spotted the 10th. And there might be more. Uncircumcised. So now what we want to do is go through a study on circumcision. And hopefully on this tape we'll have time to do most of it. Now, the circumcision in the Old Testament is mule, M-U-W-L. It's found circumcised 30 times and one time is cut down or destroyed, cut in pieces. In the New Testament, circumcision is peri-temno. Peri is around and temno is to cut around. Anyway, the first place we're going to look is the Old Testament, so it would be mule, M-U-W-L, and Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Okay, we're Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. Did you know that there is a tie-in word, that the word here for love in the Old Testament can be directly related to the agape love in the New Testament? I can prove this out. If you want to hear it sometime, I can definitely prove it out for you. Moreover, the Lord your God, the Lord God is going to do this. Not you will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to do what? To love the Lord your God, to agape love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. Okay, you made me prove it. Here we go. We were commanded in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The Hebrew word for love there is ahav, or ahev. Jesus quoted this exact same scripture in Matthew 12, verses 29 through 30. In the Greek, the word is agape. It's a direct link between the two. So the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to agape love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou may live. Get a hold of me if you want to know the study books we have. We do not use commentaries. None of them. We use a Stiganga. This is the best concordance ever written for the New Testament. It is way above all others. John Stiganga, when he was done putting it together, compiling it, he went to the Divinity School in Harvard and the main Ivy League schools and the main schools throughout the United States. And he showed them, and they said, well, thank you, and then stuck it on the bookshelf, and we don't know if anybody's used it. But it is a Stiganga. It is the best concordance ever. And then what you also need is you need a good interlinear, and then you need an Ivan Panins for context. So you can look at whole full thoughts, put them together, find out what word you're reading in the interlinear, and you can learn to do it like we did. And then you put them together with a Stiganga, and it even tells you what part of speech they are. So it can tell you if it's in the imperative mood, a command. Oh, Acts 2:38, I'll give you an example. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In 37, then Peter says, repent. That is a Greek word, metanaos, and it is in the imperative mood. I command you to change your mind. And it's amazing what you find in the Old Testament. We use the Wigram's, the New Englishman's Concordance, and it groups together all the places where the same Hebrew word is found. The Stiganga groups together all the places where the same Greek word is found, even where it's exactly the same word, exactly the same part of speech, and so on. Wait till you see it. You've got to have one of these. Only 2,000 were printed, and Mrs. Stiganga gave us the license to reprint these. We have 5 more years to print these, and I don't know what's happened. I've tried to call Mrs. Stiganga to keep the license going and so on, but I can keep printing. I would say within the next 5 years, if you are a serious Bible student, you need to have one of these. And you can trace these things down yourself. I'll show you all the tools that the Lord has given to us. When I met a man of God 36 years ago, he didn't tell me to follow him. I went up and he's the one that baptized me. He was Jewish. He said, Gilbert, I told him, I think I'm going to go leave everything and come up here and follow you. And he says, Gilbert, why don't you go home and let the Lord show you what to do next? But the thing is that he did is he gave me every study tool he had. He made me exactly equal to him, and we'll do the same for you, my friend. And so you can check all these things out yourself and see where the Holy Spirit guides you. But don't you want to have the best tools in your search for God? I sure hope you do. God will circumcise your heart to love the Lord your God. Now, these are the things, if you read the full of the context in Deuteronomy, we're back to circumcision of the heart. We are commanded in Deuteronomy 6:5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We are also told to return to the Lord. In the New Testament, it's repent. We are told to obey God's voice with all our heart and soul. We are told to turn thy captivity, or God will return or turn our captivity, and God will return, and God will gather us. God will fetch us. He will bring thee into the land, which today is the kingdom of God, and God will multiply us when our heart is circumcised. Okay, we're going to go to the next place is Jeremiah 4, verses 3 and 4. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is Jeremiah 4, 3 and 4. So it does talk about circumcising yourselves. This is the Old Testament. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. That's like repent. Break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. The third place we're going to read about circumcision is found in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 26. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah, Edom and the sons of Ammon and Moab, all those inhabiting the desert who clip the hair on their temples, for all the nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart. You can be circumcised, my dear friend, but if your heart is not right with God, if it is not truly circumcised, in other words, if the hold that sin has on your heart is not cut away, you are still circumcised or uncircumcised. And you can be circumcised in the flesh. You can be a Jew and circumcised in the flesh, but not have a right heart, not be circumcised in the heart. I've talked to those of the Jewish nation, and they just get this blank face, a look on their face when I talk to them about circumcision. And I tell them, I've been circumcised in my heart. My heart belongs to God. It makes me Jewish. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He who is a Jew who is one inwardly. We're going to read Romans 2, specifically 28 and 29. Actually, in this, the context is 17 through 29, but for the sake of time, I'm going to start in verse 25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, though having the letter of the law and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Now here's the punchline. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. The Holy Spirit performs this circumcision. Go over that one again, because the circumcision of the heart is what really counts. Now, remember, we looked into Sheol, or the grave or the pit, and that is the land. I'll call it the land of the uncircumcised. And that's where the uncircumcised go. Now, whether they're Jew or Gentile, it depends on where their heart is. And where your heart is what you will do. You will do, your activities will be according to what your heart is. So it's not just the heart, it's the steps that we take to. We're going to read Romans 4, verses 11 and 12. The full context is 1 through 12, and you can read that on your own. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised. This is talking about Abraham. So that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be accredited to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So it's two things to be circumcised: is to be circumcised of the heart, to have a heart that belongs to God, not to yourself anymore, and to walk in the steps of faith. Now I'm reading in Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4a. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, or the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. We worship in the Spirit. It says a person who is of the circumcision, the true circumcision, is the one who worships in the Spirit of God and glories in Christ Jesus, not in his own flesh, not in his Jewishness or Gentileness. He glories in Jesus. Now we're going to get to one of my favorite scriptures. This is found in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read the whole context, verse 8 to 15. This is a story about circumcision. This is probably one of the most definitive descriptions of what circumcision accomplishes. We're starting in verse 8 of Colossians chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, that's in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, you see it happens at baptism. And make sure your baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's Acts 2:38. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through the faith in the working of God, or faith in the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all transgressions. When he circumcised your heart, he removed all transgressions. And he canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Actually, when Jesus died on the cross, he made a public display of Satan. He stripped him naked and paraded him, that he is down. By the way, I didn't bring this out in the Revelation teaching. I'm probably going to there also, but I think it's in chapter 12 of Revelation. Satan now has just two tools, deception and accusation, and boy, he uses those well. Deception and accusation are his tools. But back to circumcision. Go back and read Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, that this is a circumcision made without hands. It happens at baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, or the operation of God. And the operation is circumcision of the heart. He performed on you. And it is simply to believe that God, when you go in the operating table, God is going to give you a new heart when you repent and believe on him. And may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."